Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the words of the living and the true God. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Now, every year on Resurrection Sunday, there is a webcomic that is like a comic book, not a comedian, but a webcomic that wishes everyone a happy zombie Jesus Day. An atheist website has a card, like a greeting card, that you can send to people that says, "If not for Halloween, Easter would be my favorite zombie-related holiday." Now, these two sites poke fun and mock the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even some who have professed faith in Christ, who profess to be Christians, cast aside this essential belief as a secondary issue. If I may be a little daring this morning and a little controversial, Dr. Martin Luther King in his Easter message in 1959 said, "Whatever you believe about the resurrection this morning isn't important. The form that you believe in, that isn't the important thing. Some people felt, or the disciples felt, that it was a physical resurrection, that the physical body got up." Then Paul came on the scene, who had been trained in Greek philosophy, who knew a little about Greek philosophy, and had read a little, probably, of Plato and others who believed in the immortality of the soul. And he tried to synthesize the Greek doctrine of the immortality of the soul with the Jewish-Hebrew doctrine of resurrection. And he talked, as you remember and you read it, about spiritual body, a spiritual body, whatever form that isn't important right now. Church, what we believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial. The resurrection of Christ is the one event that our faith hinges on. It was quoted just a moment ago by Mr. Battiston, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14 that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, that is a bodily resurrection from the dead, our faith, the faith you profess, the faith I profess, the preaching of the gospel is in vain. Paul was not synthesizing anything here. He was not speaking of a spiritual resurrection, but Paul preached and believed in a physical and bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those out there who will say that you don't have to believe in a bodily resurrection of Christ to be a Christian. But the focus on the resurrection represents for us what Christ has done for our spiritual selves. And each person speaking this morning is affirming a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And my focus in the short time that I have is on Christ's words, what he said, and what the angel tells those who came to the tomb. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Now, when did Christ say these words? When did Christ claim that he would be risen from the dead? I will give you two examples quickly. Luke chapter 9, verses 21 and 22. "And he strictly charged and commanded them not to tell this, or to tell this to no one, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised.'" Luke 18, 31 through 33. "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise.'" Now, the question we have to ask: was Jesus a true prophet? This is argued amongst critics today. Was Jesus a true prophet? Well, we can go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and see the test for a prophet. Moses writes, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, that is the name of the Lord, that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." So we have to take this threefold test into consideration when we consider Christ's words about his resurrection. First, he must speak in the name of the Lord. Well, did Christ claim to be God? He says, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me," John chapter 7, verse 16. He said, "The one who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from him," John chapter 8, verse 26. "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work," John 14, 24. Christ spoke for God, but Christ did not just speak for God, but Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God," upon seeing the resurrected Christ. And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." This is referencing back to the burning bush that Moses came across. Second, in this threefold test, his message must be in accord with God's revealed truth in Scripture. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection based on the prophets of old, says Luke chapter 18. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "Not my own will, but yours be done." His message was in accord with what was revealed to us in Scripture. And thirdly, his prediction of future events must come true exactly as they were predicted. Did Jesus die? Absolutely. Yes, he did. Pastor Young spoke on that just a few moments ago. Even the critics admit this. The historicity of Jesus is indisputable. Even if they don't believe that he was indeed God, they would have to believe that Jesus, as a person, even a good prophet and a good teacher, had to have died at some point. Islam, Judaism, and even many atheists believe the account of Jesus being put to death on the cross, rather than living to a ripe old age. Did Jesus die or rise from the dead? Well, we just read Paul's words that if he didn't, our faith is in vain. But if none of this came true, or even some of it came true, but not all of it, Jesus would have been considered a false prophet. And we have nothing to fear on the day of judgment if we don't believe in him. But if he did predict his death, burial, and resurrection, he is not only a true prophet, but he is God, the very God whom we worship today, and whom we celebrate the resurrection of the dead. The most important event in history is what we are recognizing this morning, church. He was raised up by his own power. He says, "No one takes it, that is his life, from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." And again, he says, "As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father has given all judgment to the Son." John Piper says, "So the Son has authority to raise from the dead whomever he will, including himself." So Jesus says in John 2:19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And John adds he was speaking about the temple of his body. "Destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And indeed he did, church. So in closing, Jesus' words were true. What Jesus spoke is faithful and true and trustworthy. The angel at the tomb confirms it. The Bible confirms it. The Holy Spirit who indwells the believer confirms it. The empty tomb, which we will hear about in just a few minutes, confirms this. The resurrection of Christ is not only a historical fact, but a true and fulfilled prophecy from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. Your life and your eternity hinges on this fact. The benefit for you is the forgiveness of sins. that Christ took on the wrath of God upon himself as he hung on that cross. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, your sins are still counted against you. Your sins are not forgiven, for nobody took them upon themselves. But church, we have forgiveness of sins because of the death of Jesus Christ and the confirmation of this forgiveness, this confirmation of this salvation that we are promised in his bodily and physical resurrection from the dead. And I try and give you this hope right now from the mouth of R.C. Sproul. He says, there is no greater state than to get up from your knees knowing that God has forgiven every sin you have ever committed. Church, this is the promise that we have this morning. We have assurance. We have hope because Christ rose. The phrase that we have said over and over and over this morning, he is risen, is the most divisive statement ever uttered by a human mouth, because it affirms that Christ, of what Christ said, that he is the only way to salvation. He is the only way to the Father. And that is the most divisive statement. He is risen, because it affirms that. He is risen is also the most hope-giving statement for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There's one church this morning that in their Easter invitations that they sent out, they did not use words specifically, the blood of Christ, Calvary, or resurrection, because they were afraid it might offend people and not get people in the doors of the church. But when we say Christ is risen, we declare it by saying that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We don't mind dividing us from the world if it means holding on to Christ and Christ holding on to us. Many claim that they have knowledge and the secrets to eternal life, but I'm going to go with the one who not only predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection, but by his own power raised himself from the dead. Christ is indeed risen, church. Let us rejoice in our Savior this morning.